Hey, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk about the FirstNet Fizzle. At least it's a fizzle for deployment teams. We thought there'd be a lot of work, and now it just looks like another add-on for a carrier. But first, I want to thank Tower Tracker Pro. They have the application for your smartphone to walk people right through closeout packages so you can get it done right the first time with one site visit. That's right. Load this on your smartphone or your device, tablet, whatever the guys are going to use up there to take pictures for the closeout packages. It'll walk them through the closeout package. It'll put all the data in there just the way you want it to, and it'll resize the pictures the way you want it to. All you have to do is walk through with this. Piece by piece, they get it right, they can upload it before they leave the site, and someone back at the office can QA it. Quality assurance just for you. Next, I want you to think of tower safety and instruction. Granted, they have all the tower safety training that you have and all the tower training you need for your business. Online, at the site, they'll come to you. You can go to them in Phoenix, Arizona, or you can take their drone training. That's right. They just added drone training because, as you know, you need to be an educated and qualified professional to do drone work at the tower site. Plus, you need to know all the rules. You just don't go out there like some Yahoo and just start flying a drone. That's crazy. Even though that's how we did it in the early days. I didn't fly a drone, but that's how it was done in the early days. Now we know better. We want to make sure that we're all following the initiative to do safe drone work. Also, the Wireless Deployment Handbook, written by me. That's right, Wade of Wade for Wireless. And again, if you want to read about all this, just go to Wade for Wireless. W-A-D-E, the number 4, wireless.com. WadeForWireless.com. Okay, let's get into why I called it the FirstNet Fizzle. For one, if you're a deployment team, you know why I called it the FirstNet Fizzle, because everyone was looking forward to this. Beautiful new system that the feds were going to build, and it was going to be highly secure, and only the feds were going to be allowed on it, and we were going to build a new core, and we were going to build a new, which that they are going to build a new core still. I believe FirstNet's going to have a dedicated core, but it will be tied into a carrier. In this case, it looks like AT&T might be the winner. I know Rivada is trying to get in there and maybe do a deal. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of powerful backers, but I got to tell you, it's going to be hard to beat AT&T. The only true competition that I see would be, say, I think T-Mobile would have a chance if they were up to it, but who knows? You know, they might be sold in a year or two, and they're very profitable. I don't know why they keep talking about selling that company. I mean, it just seems to be doing great. T-Mobile seems like a force. And you have Verizon, which is Verizon. Number one. Number one in subscribers, number one in coverage, or at least that's what they say. Hey, I believe them. Who am I to argue? But AT&T's interested. They're ready for the challenge. Verizon may not be because they're afraid if something goes wrong, they'll get a black eye, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe they just don't want to deal with it. Maybe they have enough federal customers or public safety customers they just don't think they need anymore. I don't know. Can't answer that. What I can answer is that AT&T is interested. AT&T is bidding on it, and they seem very interested to move ahead. So they get the spectrum. You know, the band 14 spectrum, 700 megahertz, it is going to be used for public safety as long as there's not a crisis. When there's a crisis, any of their customers using it gets bumped off for public safety. I don't think it'll be that dramatic, but public safety will get first priority. Plus, I would imagine the public safety devices can roam onto AT&T anywhere. So, you know, I get it. I get why FirstNet did it. Saving money. It's very cost effective. They wanted coverage overnight, which a carrier can bring. You know, that's what they wanted. However, if you're a deployment team, you're very disappointed. Weren't we all looking forward to building this from scratch? Weren't all of us just so excited because it was going to be a site acquisition deal, it was going to be RF engineering deal, and it was going to be a deployment deal, and we were going to have to increase the structural on the towers and put new antennas up. It was going to be a game changer, folks, a game changer. Well, now it's not. Now it's going to be another AT&T add-on. Wearable replace radio heads for AT&T, upgrade the antennas. Even though that Verizon has more 700 megahertz spectrum, it just seems like a better marriage for them. I don't know why they're not into it. I'm sure they have a good reason that I don't know. If they want to tell me, I'd be happy to report it, but they're not going to. I'd put money on that. However, for deployment teams, you know, we just hope in 2017 AT&T is going to have to roll this out. They've been pretty stagnant for a while as far as the radio network goes, but I think they have to do something soon. I mean, they're just going to fall farther and farther behind Verizon. And I know they'll make it up with all their TV packages. That's how they expect to make up the income. Let me tell you something. That TV package doesn't mean much if your phone's crappy. I'm just saying, if it's crappy, who wants to buy it? So let's go on here. As far as public safety goes, I get why they're into it. They'd be there overnight. have AT&T coverage immediately, and they probably already have cell phones, probably with one of the big boys, or maybe with Sprint, because let's face it, Sprint's pretty cheap nowadays, very cost effective. What you give up in coverage, you make up for in price. Yeah, it's hard to get everything. But I think public safety will have something there. I don't know how Motorola is going to survive without doing much on LTE. I don't know how they'll get in the deal. I don't know what they're going to have to offer. I just don't know. Maybe you Motorola people can tell me, but I know they're doing a push-to-talk deal, and they're going to try it with apps and this and that. In the past, that I am aware of, it's never been their strong point, but it is Motorola. Maybe they'll figure it out. You know, they were once the name in wireless at one time. In radio, you thought of Motorola, but now you don't. Just being honest. FirstNet's going to work it along with the carriers, and they're just going to do all the roaming. I mean, it all makes sense, but personally, I think if you'd have worked for AT&T already, if you're already a contractor for AT&T, you should see a lot of work. Unfortunately, not till 2017. And I wouldn't see any small cell or DAS improvements specifically for public safety probably till 2018 or 2019, maybe not even till 2020. And by then, we'll all be talking about 5G. You know what I mean? 5G is going to be huge, but I don't want to get into that right now. Let's just talk about what a disappointment this is for the deployment industry, because we were really expecting something big. And when I say something big, I was basically saying a new system that would be a lot of work for everybody. But now it's going to be a lot of work for someone like AT&T and all their vendors. It's just very frustrating for small businesses, because that's who normally profits off public safety. And now that's gone. You know, it's all going to the carriers, right? I mean, the carriers, the auction, it's all about the money. It's very hard for a small business, especially someone in wireless, to really make a move without a carrier. In fact, a lot of the small carriers really have to just rent spectrum off the big boys. What choice do they have? I mean, they can auction on it too, but they just don't have the budgets. They aren't national. They, you know, I'm not making excuses for them. It's just hard for them to compete. It's hard for someone new to come in, look at LightSquared or whatever their name is today. It's very hard to come in. It just takes a lot of money. Everyone wants to have a national presence right away, and that's not how it used to be. If everyone remembers back into the 90s, you could build a regional system and be profitable and just roam on to somebody else. But those days seem like they're gone, you know, although with the CCA uniting all the small carriers, I think it's a good thing because they can put all their resources together and, you know, at least give the other carriers a run for their money, which I think is good. I think that's why T-Mobile and Sprint joined the CCA, because they thought that the Competitive Carriers Association could really make a difference for these guys. And plus, I think the other thing they want is they want to get all that roaming money from the smaller carriers. Not that it's a lot, but every little bit helps. Business is business. We're all in it to make money. So now the 600 megahertz auction's coming up. It's going to be the last beachfront property, as the FCC would say, for spectrum, 600 megahertz, and they're going to get it all off the broadcasters. It's pretty exciting. I don't know what else the public safety band is going to have to work with. I mean, they tried a lot of things. Remember 4.9 gigahertz? That, you know, it was just like Wi-Fi. It's very narrow. Only it had less spectrum, I believe. Just wasn't much to it. So what a letdown, FirstNet. You really disappointed us. Not that I'm whining, not that I'm complaining. I understand why you did it with your $6 billion budget. You might as well get the biggest bang for your buck, and you have every requirement on there that they have to push it to the public safety people. And maybe they will. Maybe that's a good fit for AT&T. I think it was a good fit for AT&T and Verizon personally. They have a lot of business. But now I'm just disappointed. I was really looking forward to building a new system. That's why it fizzled. The FirstNet fizzle. Fizzled for me. So let's sit back, wait for the deployment to happen in 2017. Even the RFP doesn't seem very exciting anymore, does it? I mean, it's exciting when you had a lot of people in it. But when they put all those caveats and they didn't want the little guy and they snubbed the CCA and they said, you know, we want a real carrier. And we don't just want a carrier. We want, really, I think they wanted AT&T or Verizon. I think they preferred Verizon, but Verizon doesn't seem interested. I know I'm harping on that again. I just can't figure it out. But I am disappointed. All right, everyone. Going to make it a short one this week. Be smart, be safe, and pay attention. Please pay attention and remember that there are organizations out there that can help you if you're a tower climber and you get injured. You have the Hubble Foundation, hubblefoundation.org, and you have the Tower Family Foundation. Tower Family Foundation's part of NATE. They both are out to help the families. They don't judge, but they do have rules. It has to be someone hurt on a tower in a tower accident from a tower fall or climbing on a tower, something specifically tower related. But they do help the families. They do all they can. The Tower Family Foundation is part of Nate, and the Hubble Foundation was formed by Dr. Hester when her husband died. That's why it's called Hubble. His last name was Hubble. All right, everybody. Be smart. Be safe. See ya.